Okay, I'm scared to death because the Word of God is offensive to my selfishness. And from what he's asked me to tell you, and I realize it's the sermon topic today is, what do you do? What do you do? And to get you to think about, what do you do? What are you called to do here on this earth? Here in Steinbach, here in Manitoba, here in Canada, or in someplace around the world. And as I share what God has put on my heart, please realize the weight of this is heavy upon myself. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I struggle with stuff, but I guess the first thing that I want to do, I need to keep things really simple in my own life. That's just the way I have to operate many times. I tend to become very methodical in what I do. Otherwise, I forget. I blame my wife for hiding my keys and my wallet. And I'm sure a few of you may have tried that tactic. Doesn't work, does it? No, it doesn't. Even though they do. Because it surely couldn't be me losing all this stuff. But the common question is, what do you do? What do you do? Timo, you haven't been married that long to have her hiding your keys already. Okay, maybe. What do you do? What's your calling in life? Oh, well, let me just give it to you right now. Your calling in life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's it. Done. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you can do that, you've got it. You've done. You're finished. God will give you that purpose in your life if you get that one thing done. And you know what? That's the hardest thing to do. I mean, you can have your PhD in missions, in the Bible, you can be a missionary, you can live overseas, you can eat bugs and live in grass huts. But if you don't get that one thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you're missing it. We had been in the Philippines for a little while, and I kind of picked up a mentor because I needed one because I was struggling with a lot of things. And I picked a guy by the name of Al. And Al and I would talk frequently. And I said, "So, Al, what do you do here in the Philippines?" He said, "To be honest, I'm here in the Philippines to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself." And I kind of looked at him and I said, "Okay, what does that look like? How do you do that? How does that work itself out?" And he said, for him, it was translating the Bible so that others could know who God was, could know his son that he sent to the earth for their salvation, for their eternal salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins. And he said, "What about you, Sam? What's your job here?" I said, "Well, it feels like I'm here to drive my kids back and forth to school." Man. But once we get that first thing down, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, things start falling into place. Things start happening that the Lord has preordained for you. I know a lot of us here in North America, I won't just say Southern Manitoba because it happens all over in North America, it happens all over the world. We like to up the ante. Even missionaries are very good at it. So how long have you been on the mission field? Oh, I've been here for 137 years. Wow. Yes, I speak four languages. Oh, really? Well, I have my master's in emotional manipulation. Oh, do you? Oh, well, that's good. I have a doctorate in divine annoyance. Oh, that's very good. Oh, okay. We on the mission field, we do this. And why? Because we want people to look up to us. We want people to say, good job, good and faithful servant. Well, to be honest with you, this is as good as it gets. Now, for you young people out there, this is what you have to look forward to. Now, it was pointed out earlier today that why is it that most male missionaries are why are they bald? I don't know why it is that the hair stops growing here and it starts growing here and in here. You know, why does the hair grow out of your nose and out of your ears instead of on your hair where you want it? This is what you got to look forward to, guys. Those of you that are married, this is what you get to look forward to. And why is it that the chest goes from here and slowly sinks down to here as you get older? Some of you guys are young and you're still vigorous, and that'll never happen to me. Yeah, just wait. It kind of happens to all of us. You look around, you look at your grandma and grandpa. This is what you have to look forward to. I got a little rude wake up a while ago. My daughter had my old high school yearbook. She was looking through it and she said, "Now I see why Mom thought Dad was cute." I guess I look differently now than I did years ago. Your bodies are going to waste away. Your bodies are going to get old and gray and flabby and grow hair where you don't want it to grow hair. And this whole idea of let's keep things young and vigorous and good looking and full of chemicals that don't make your face move and or whatever. All for what? So you can look good in your casket? Man, that's the best looking corpse I've seen all year. What? I mean, really. Okay, so what do you do? Is your life all about, is it focused on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul? I wish I could say every morning I wake up and that's my dream. Often I wake up thinking, I hope I can get to the coffee machine before I fall down. You know, what's your dream? Even as missionaries on the mission field, sometimes I feel like I am running a mega storage unit of stuff. I collect stuff. I like stuff. Stuff is fun. Stuff makes me feel important, especially loud stuff. Stuff that goes in your hand and it twists or you can sit on it and the loud, well, not necessarily the louder, but you know, if it goes, I like stuff. And really, I don't know why. For some reason, if there's this little, I guess I'm in control. I've got power. I've got authority, maybe, over this thing. I was riding a big motorcycle. A friend of mine has some big motorcycles. And he let me borrow his 900 Honda 900cc. And the thing is just immaculate. It is a brilliant yellow with black trim and shiny chrome wheels. And it's a gorgeous bike. And so I kept thinking, I hope I get to a traffic light and it's red. So people will go, wow, I wish I was him. And you know what? After the fourth traffic light of little guys on 105cc scooters going, wing, 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 want to race? And I'm like, no. It got old. It got old. Now guys are buying 1500cc bikes and it's stuff. It's not about loving the Lord our God with all our heart. And so this weekend that we've been talking about here is all about, let's get the word out. Let's get the word out to people who don't know, to people who need to know about forgiveness. And the scripture that the Lord has brought to me and has used in my life very much has been from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. On to 21. And he said, don't store up treasures here on earth where they can erode away or may be stolen. Store them in heaven where they will never lose their value and are safe from thieves. If your profits are in heaven, your heart will be there also. If your profits are in heaven, your heart will be there also. That's a direct quote from God, although I'm sure he spoke Hebrew. Store up your treasures in heaven, and that's where your heart will be too. I'm often challenged, I guess is the best way to put it, because of what Jesus has said in his word. And as I look even farther, he says in verse 25 of chapter 6, he says, here is my wisdom for you. Here is my counsel. Don't worry about things. Don't worry about stuff, food, drink, and clothing, for you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and what to wear. Don't be worried about this stuff, because God Himself will take care of you. God Himself will look after you as His child. So, what implication does this have for us? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Christ gets right at the point. He says, after chapter 6, don't worry about things. Chapter 16, he says, take up your cross. Go and be a sacrifice to the world. I'm in the same boat as you. I want stuff. I want stuff to make my life easier. I think we all do. It's all a part of who we are to want to have stuff. And God gives us stuff. And now we're responsible for that stuff. For what reason? So that we can sit back and go, oh, you know, this coffee machine I have makes the best coffee ever. Oh, man, this is good. Is that why God gives us stuff? so that we can enjoy our life even more and more? I don't think so. He says in chapter 16, take up your cross and follow me. It means sacrifice. It means give up the world. I mean, you can have the greatest coffee maker in the world, but if you've sacrificed yourself and you are dead, it doesn't matter anymore to you. So, let go of the stuff. One of my heart verses in for myself, I don't have many. One of my heart verses is comes from Matthew chapter. It starts out in chapter Matthew chapter 20, verses 20. It's kind of the Matthew 20:20. How are you going to see correctly? And in Matthew chapter 20, what do we see happening? We see James and John and their mother. And I kind of want to think that James and John's mother was kind of one of those bossy girls who gets her own way. And they say, hey, mom, can you help us? Can you go talk to Jesus? And she says, yes, I'll talk to him. I can get my way. And so she walks up and she says, Jesus, I have a request. And he says, what is it? And she says, I want this one to sit on one side and that one to sit on the other side of you when your kingdom comes. And Jesus says, that's not for me to do. That's not for me to be able to give you. And of course, all the other disciples are mad at James and John, and although they don't say the mother, but they're all mad. And then Jesus says in verse 25 of chapter 20, but Jesus called them together and said, among the heathen, kings are tyrants of each minor official, and they lord it over those beneath them. But among you, it is quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, if you want to be at the pinnacle, you will be like a slave. That is so countercultural. Working your way to the top. For me, one of the key things about doing ministry, one of the key aspects of being a missionary here in southern Manitoba or across the world is, number one, be a servant. Be a servant. Lay down your life for somebody. No greater love has this than a man will lay down his life for his friend. He'll, and it doesn't, I don't think that it, I want to say it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, take the knife for the guy, you know, dive in front of the oncoming bullet. Not many of those here. But maybe it means not doing something that you've been looking forward to in order to help someone. Number one, be a servant. I think about a young woman by the name of Kay. She's an American Korean. And she travels mainly on a Korean passport because her heart is to serve the people of North Korea. And so as I got to know her and as I talked to Kay, I said, so what's your background? What's your thing? Well, actually, I'm a business administrator. I love business. I do well in it. I've worked in several companies. I advanced quite high, and then God called me to the people in North Korea. I said, wow, how are you going to use your skill set of business administration in North Korea? She says, yeah, about that. God's asked me to get into goat farming. I said, goat farming as a business administrator? She said, yeah, I know it's a stretch, but I've been studying goat agriculture for the last year and a half, and goat husbandry and midwifery or whatever they do with goats. And That's how God has asked me to impact the lives of people in North Korea. I really, and I said, you know what? God bless you, Kay. Wow. I really wanted to ask her, didn't you tell God that you're a business administrator and are gifted in other areas? But I didn't. It was clear that God was leading her in this path. And so, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the world. How many of you are feeling salty? Okay, I got one hand back there. Thank you, Mikey. Who feels like they are making an impact here in Manitoba so that Manitoba isn't just full of Mennonites, but born-again believers of Jesus Christ who are making a difference in this world? You are to be salty. You are to make this world tolerable, it says. It says, without us, we are like some African foods, which they take up a bean and they smush it and then add a little water and then, I like spicy food. I'm glad God called me to Thailand but add a little salt, all of a sudden there's new life in that food. You are called to be the salt of the earth, the salt of the world, so that this world can become tolerable. And I don't know if that means that if you wake up someday that you have to start thinking, okay, I'm going to be that one guy from the Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack Sparrow. I'm going to be swarthy and I wouldn't say get drunk, but I'm going to be different for the sake of Jesus Christ. Jesus has made a difference in my life. I am going to make a difference in somebody else's life because I'm going to serve them. I'm going to serve them. It's a wonderful, it's easy, but it's very countercultural. I realize that. Jesus was extremely countercultural. He looked at the leaders, those that were dictating the culture of the day, saying, if you want to be the pinnacle, you be like us. And Jesus was saying, if you want to be the pinnacle, you want to be the top, don't be like them. Be like me, who came to serve each other. I think about another friend of mine. Her name is Opie. And Opie gave up a fairly good job in a business. She was an executive secretary. And she decided to do a Muslim outreach with kids in a squatter community somewhere in the Philippines. And as she was there, these little kids, their legs full of sores because rats bite them at night and they don't have antibiotic, they don't have bandages, so you see these little guys and they're wearing their shorts and their t-shirts and the bottoms of their legs are just chewed on. And Opie's heart just went out to them. I got to reach these kids. These kids are being taught that Jesus is not the Son of God, but he's just a good prophet. They need to know that there's more. Now, one thing about missions, please understand this. It is a long-term engagement. It takes a long time before you really start seeing fruit that lasts. Now, there are some times where God intervenes, the Holy Spirit moves, and things happen very quickly. And God is free to do that, and he does that, and it's wonderful. But many times, there's grunt, hard work year after year after year. And for Opie, it was 10 years. And then all of a sudden, God moved in that little community with some of these little guys that were 4 and 5 years old that she was working with, who, last time I met them, are 14 and 15 years old. I know this is smack dab in the middle of a Muslim community in the Philippines. And they have a vibrant youth group going on there. Those kids love the Lord. They follow after Isa al-Masih. They follow after Jesus. And in fact, when there are kids in trouble in the community, the imams, the Muslim leaders, are sending those kids. Either we turn you over to the police or you go to this ministry center. And so the kids are like, oh, go to the ministry center. I'm not going to listen to all that other stuff they talk about. And sure enough, the love of God gets a hold of them. And we're seeing a mini revival happening in this Muslim community in the Philippines. But it's taken time. It's taken Opie years of being a servant, years of reaching out. I think of Ashok, who lives in Tibet. His main ministry is with a coffee house. And so he goes and he plays. He's a phenomenal musician. Guitar, piano, bass guitar, violin. He picks them up and he's one of those highly gifted people. And he uses that gift. He uses that to sing songs to Tibetan men who come into his coffee shop because there's nothing else to do in town. And he sings songs about love and about joy and peace. And these men, how can you sing these songs? You know, this is Tibet, by the way. We eat yak meat and drink sour yak milk. How good can that be, right? And yet the love of God is going out through Ashok because he has chosen to serve those people in those communities with this coffee shop. Some of you are musicians. Could use your gifting, could use your skills, as it were, so that others might get to know who Christ is. Now, here's something a little side note that I want to... Nobody in particular here that I've talked to in the last week or so, or the last 3 months. I hear a number of people saying, I'd like to do that, but that's not my gifting. Evangelism is not my gifting. Okay, I get that. But if you look at Scripture, as far as I'm concerned, gifting is for the edification of the church. Evangelism is the directive of the church. God, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says, God says, use your gifting to evangelize. I just see in Scripture where God says, evangelize. Reach your nation. Reach the other nations for Christ. But I give you a gift to help your body, to help the church. So please don't confuse this idea that my gifting isn't towards sharing my faith with other people. I get that. I understand. God has made some people as evangelists, and they're very good at it. And they do it naturally, and praise God for them. But all of us have been given the task to evangelize, to reach out to our community, to reach out to southern Manitoba, to reach out to Canada or the world. We've all been given that. Please don't hide behind your gift. Please step out and proclaim the goodness of God to people that don't know him. Please step out. Let me get a little prop here. This is a wonderful little preaching tool. God said, you are the light of the world, right? Now, what happens when your light goes out? Guess what? You're dead. Okay? This is you alive on the earth. This is you not alive on the earth anymore. Yeah? So if you are alive and you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, you should be like this. And at some point, on the other side of this switch, we're going to be connected eternally to the power of God. Many of you know of Francis Chan, and I'm going to steal a couple of his illustrations. What if this is your life here? 70 years. And this is eternity. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It goes around the world several million times, then goes around the sun a few times, and then reaches out to the stars of Orion and Betelgeuse, and goes around and around and around. We have this much time in order to be the light. This is all we are given. This is all the chance we have. Someday, our chance to be the light is going to be turned off. And we're going to go into eternity with God. Either you can be, hey, I'm the light. I'm not the light. Look at the light. Look at Jesus. Look who can forgive your sins. Or we can be like, oh, hi. Do you like my new haircut? Cut it this morning. As Francis Chan also points out, he uses what's called a balance beam. We're given a balance beam. This is the length of our life. And some of us as Christians hang on for dear life. And then all of a sudden God calls us and says, hey, it's over. You're in heaven now. And we look up and we say, we're in heaven? Yeah, you're in heaven. I stuck the landing. We hang on because it's safe. And God says, get on the balance beam. Get on it. Get, not reckless, but get where you need me to hold you up. Get out of your comfort zone to find where God wants you to serve. Matthew 16:24, take up your cross. Number one thing in missions, be a servant. Number two, sacrifice. Sacrifice. And for most, I think the most difficult thing that most of us sacrifice is our time. That's one of the hardest things to let go of, is our time. But the number three thing, which I want to leave you with, if you are doing missions here, and there are you can go to AIM, you can go with Avant, you can go with Send, you can go with the Canada Bible League. I'm not saying there's one that's better than the other. I'm just saying get involved with something for a long term. Get involved. Be a part of the game. Let your light so shine before men. Be different. And the number three thing that I think is so important for missions is be ready to be surprised. I've shared this with you guys before, I'm sure. But when God asked me to become, and I believe, yeah, when he asked me to become the director of an English teacher training center, I laughed. I said, you have got to be kidding, Lord. How about a science center? I can do science. English, please no. I cannot parse of, I don't, what in the world is a preposition? I haven't a clue what a preposition is. You have got to be kidding that I'm supposed to lead an English teacher training center. And he said to me, like you've heard this morning, my weakness, your weakness, I can make complete. Be ready for surprises. Let me tell you a little bit about Nurmat and Dina, good friends of mine. They live in a city in Uzbekistan. And I'd known them for a year and a half or so, and I'd been getting their emails, we've been corresponding, and they sent me their praise letter saying that they're pregnant with their second child, and we're all excited about this. Everything's going wonderfully, and we're getting, you know, we're 3 months to our due date, and we've got everything set up and ready to go. Everything's just wonderful. And then about a month before, they said, only 30 more days, and then we'll have our baby. Everything's looking good. And then silence. And so, like 3 months later, I email them. I say, so, how are you guys doing? No reply. I write again a month later. Hey, I'm not hearing. Did you guys change your email address? You know how dumb that is. Write to this email address. Did you change it? Like it's going to get to them. Right, you know, if they did. About 5 months later after that, so 8 months later, they came out and they said, we were extremely surprised, but our daughter was born with an extra chromosome. Our special, special daughter, whom we love, was born with an extra chromosome. She has Down syndrome. And in that country, the idea is shut them away. Put them away. Awful. Awful. And yet, as the God of surprise, and they had their whole ministry 5-year, 10-year goals laid out. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And God gave them an extremely special gift. And with that gift, they decided, you know what? We love our gift. We're proud of our gift. And so they started taking their child out in the stroller, out on the streets in the city where they live, which is unheard of in the city. And what happened? All of a sudden, the lady came up and said, my friend has a child like this. Could they talk with you? Yeah, sure. And then pretty soon, this friend had a friend, and had a friend, and had a friend. And within 6 months, they were issuing papers, or they were signing up papers to start the country's very first children's support group for parents with special need kids. 6 months later, they had 40 families. All Muslim from this part of the country. All of them dealing with the social stigma that they had done something wrong. And people are coming to know the Lord because of their kids. Because of this special, special child. A God, totally out of their 5-year, 10-year plan. Be ready to be surprised. be ready to lose control of what you think you want to accomplish. Because if you think you want to accomplish something, God, I almost guarantee, has a different plan for you. Be a servant. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to be surprised. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Now, I know that some of you get really nervous about saying, what if God asks me to give up something I really can't give up? My word of advice is, find a way to give it up. Find a way to give it up. The God of all creation and the God with all authority will always be with you. This is the God that loves you, and he may want to take stuff away from you that is hindering your walk with him. He may ask you for your life. And if he does ask you for your life, all he's done is turned off your light and let you go into eternity with him. Seems like a pretty sweet deal, to be honest. To walk the streets of gold with him forever. Forever. Jesus says, and here's, I'll be closing with this. Jesus says, it's all or it's nothing. It's all or it's nothing. Don't miss the balance beam of life. Don't hang on it and scooch along until you get to the end and jump off. I'm safe. Ta-da. Get on the balance beam. Walk it, trusting the Lord. When did our, oh, this is good enough for God, become God's, this is good enough for me? Just to, and, you know, I point one finger at you, I've got three pointing back at me. It's a daily battle of saying, it's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. It's about you. It's all or nothing. Now, here's one of the things that I want to leave you with. If you decide, okay, to trust God with his word and with what he says, if you decide that this could be it, that it's worth laying down my life, of giving my life, my everything, all of it to God, I want to promise you, God will deliver for you. May not be what you want. It may not be what you expect. But you know what? You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive him. The blessings that he has in store for you are beyond measure. You may not get all these blessings and all these wonderful things here on earth, but they'll be there for you in heaven. Let's obey. Let's get rid of the stuff. Let's just lay down our lives for our Savior, for our Lord. Let's say, God, my good enough is not good enough. And so I give you my life that you can work in me. It says in Scripture, my good enough is as filthy rags. Only those things that are done with Christ are things that will last for eternity. And so, here's the challenge. I'm going to ask you to stand up if you will at least give some very hardcore thinking to say, to go to God and say, my good enough is not good enough. Instead of trying to make our lives what we want them to become servants to people, to sacrifice ourselves to people. If you want to stand up and say, sometime in the next week, I'm going to do business with God. And sometime within the next week, I would say, do it in your prayer closet. Go to God in your prayer closet and say to him, okay, I'm tired of running my own life. God, you can have it all. You can have the new car. You can have the new house. You can have my wife, my children. I give it all to you. But just remember, you're not going to outgive God. And then wait and be surprised. If you think you want to take that challenge sometime in the next week, I'd like you to stand up here in the company of God's people and say to him, sometime in the next week, Lord, you and I have an appointment. You and I are going to do business together. I'd like you to stand right now, if you would please. Jesus, you are the Lord of all creation. You hold us in the palm of your hand. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of fear to go from this place, to go from the hearts of people whose desire is to trust after you, Lord. Lord God, take this sacrifice unto you. Use this for your glory. Use this for the spreading of your gospel here in southern Manitoba, here in Steinbach, around the world, Lord God. See the hearts of your children. Be glorified with their sacrifice. May it be pleasing unto you. May it be pleasing unto you, Lord God. Thank you for the work in this church, in this community, in this province, in this country. Thank you, Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.